Good afternoon. My name is Steve Luckable, and I'd like to welcome you to the Social Media for Sustainability Community of Practice number 2 webinar, this one centered around content marketing. The webinar is brought to you by the Partnerships for Care, HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV TACT. The Partnerships for Care project is a 3-year multi-agency project funded by the Secretary's Minority AIDS Initiative Fund and the Affordable Care Act. The goals of the project are to expand provision of HIV testing, prevention, care, and treatment in health centers serving communities highly impacted by HIV, to build sustainable partnerships between health centers and their state health department, and to improve health outcomes among people living with HIV, especially among racial and ethnic minorities. The project is supported by the HIV Training, Technical Assistance, and Collaboration Center, HIV TAC. Our speaker today is Carlos Morales. Carlos has over 15 years of experience as an expert at synthesizing cultural competency, technology, and prevention for a variety of audiences, and in providing training and technical assistance in developing, maintaining, and measuring social media presence. I think most of you are familiar with Carlos from his previous webinars, and we're all excited to see what he has for us today. So with that, please join me in welcoming Carlos Morales.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. Let me actually explain to you what we're going to be talking about today. So, you know, we're going to be talking about content and content marketing. And so there is actually a difference between those two. And I'll explain to you what the difference are and how you actually can start thinking about creating a content strategy. There are so many things that we can do in promoting our community health centers via social media. And so the idea and the goal for this webinar is for you to start actually taking notes in terms of what are some of the topics, and so what are some of the things that you can start actually putting together in order for you to start promoting the specific services that you want to promote, or you actually, if you want to promote an event, if you want to actually promote walk-ins and people register for a specific event, you've got to start thinking about how you want to position that event in a way that it would be appealing to your audience. That's when it comes about when what means actually we'll start thinking about creating a content strategy. So then we're going to show you a couple of examples of how other health centers are actually creating content and how actually that content is also being shared by their audiences. And so we want you to have a sense in terms of, you know, what are some of the things that you can do. And, you know, we want you to copy what other health centers are doing as well, because the idea is for you to sort of actually start strategizing, to be intentional about what is it that you want to do when you start actually posting on social media. So, you know, for the most part, each post should have a goal, should have a strategy behind it, right? And we talked about that at the previous webinar where we talked about creating a social media strategy. So here now, once you have your strategy in place, now the next phase is, okay, so what is it that we're going to be writing about? What's the different pieces of content that we have to start thinking about? And so that's what this webinar is all about. And finally, you know, I'll share with you some marketing strategies that you can implement to actually maximize your reach when you are creating content. Keep in mind, though, as we're talking about creating content, that means that it could be content for social media, it could be content for your website, it could be a live video, and we'll dive a little bit deeper in terms of all the different type of contents. But I want you to start thinking strategically as you go along with me on this webinar. If you can, take some notes and start being actually more tactical in terms of, okay, these are some topics that we can easily write about. These are some topics that we can easily present to our audiences via our social media channels, because that way what happens is basically you started creating, enhancing your brand, but at the same time you actually are enhancing the reach and maximizing your exposure. And that's what we ultimately want, because otherwise we're just creating content for the sake of creating content. And then we don't get the results that we want. All right. So having said that, actually, we're going to go to our first poll. This is the poll here. Have you created a plan, okay, to generate content to promote for your community health center? I want to have a sense how many of you have actually taken the time to sort of actually create a plan. If your answer is yes, awesome. But if your answer is no, tell me why not. What is it that is stopping you from actually being strategic about creating different pieces of information? And so I'd like to have a sense before I dive into the details of this webinar, have a sense of where you are right now. And I want to make sure at the same time that I address any questions or any doubts that you may have. So feel free to actually use the questions pane as well. All right, let's see. Let's actually stop the poll if we can. And let's actually look at the results. Okay, so we have about 50% of you said yes, you have created a plan. and 50% of you says you haven't. And so one of the things is if you haven't, if you want to actually type your answer in the questions pane, that would be awesome. But here's part of it. It's why is it that I want to ask this question? It's because for the most part, we don't think about creating content. For the most part, you know, we create our social media channels. We create a website. We put all the different services, the different links. But there's not a strategy in place. Once a website is launched, we kind of forget about, you know, how to continue communicating, how to continue actually talking with the audience. And so we actually missing a huge opportunity to sort of actually enhance our presence, to continue being present with our audiences. And it's not hard to do. It is hard, though, if you don't have a plan behind it, because then you have to keep thinking about what will be the right content for your audience. Why is it that I'm posting things and people are not responding? And the answer to that question is because for the most part, you don't have a goal aligned to that specific information, to that specific content that you're actually producing. And so we want to make sure that you actually, after you watch this webinar, that you actually have the right tools, the right steps that you can follow to go ahead and create your content strategy. We got the poll question. Now let's actually define content. What is content? All right. And I want you to make sure that you pay attention to the way that it's being defined here. All right. It's when we talk about content, we're talking about information that is engaging. Okay. When we talk about engagement, remember the previous webinar, we talked about, you know, are people actually responding to your information? Are they commenting? Are they liking it? Are they sharing it? That's engagement. If people are not doing that, that means that the content might not be relevant. Again, the definition of the content is got to be engaging, relevant, useful, entertaining. And the entertaining piece means that you have to have a strategy in place in which you actually are mixing different type of content. Your content doesn't necessarily have to be about the health services that you provide all the time, but you want to mix and match in a way that you want to also, remember, you are serving an audience that have different type of interests. And so, and of course, they are in need of your services. But at the same time, this is an audience that actually might have some type of interest in music. They might have some type of interest in other topics as well. And so what you need to do is within your content strategy plan, it's sort of actually pick what topics you might want to actually include in your mix. Something that it will be educational, it could be entertaining as well. Now, how do we actually communicate? How do we actually put that content? Well, that content can be in the form of a video, text, image, or sound. And so, you know, so I want you to keep in mind, though, what the definition of content is. You got to remember, it's information that is engaging, is relevant, useful, or entertaining, and educational. So these are some of the things that we can do for us to engage our audience and get and have our audience actually respond to the message that we are producing for them. What are the different pieces of content, the different pieces of information that you can produce? We can actually write articles. Articles nowadays, you can actually write them in form of a blog post, for example, and put it on your website. We can still use social media for us to promote those articles as well. Videos. Actually, by 2008, two-thirds of the content that is produced in social media is going to be video, meaning that you guys have a huge opportunity to start using video for you to engage your audience. Here's why. When we use video in social media, video actually gets more relevance than actually just text and graphics, because video tends to be more engaging. People are actually looking at you as you are looking at me right now. They are hearing you. They're listening to what you actually are saying. They're watching your body language. And so, and how you actually are presenting your content has a very direct relationship in how people are going to respond to it. And so I suggest always for grantees to start thinking about using video, not necessarily in every single piece of content, but to start actually mixing and matching how you can actually use video 2 or 3 times a week in order for you to produce good content and actually get an engaging response from your audience. Podcast, which is basically you recording yourself or interviewing somebody. And in a way that, you know, the interview is being recorded. Like, remember, right now we're actually doing this webinar. This webinar is being recorded. So there are sound bites. That's what it is. And so basically what you do is actually you go and click play and you're listening to that conversation. Those are podcasts. And so for the most part, if part of your audience is you're serving to an audience that actually is, you know, it's moving from one place to another all the time and they want to consume information in short periods of time, or they want to be, they want to actually consume information in a more easier way instead of actually trying to use their cell phones, trying to watch a video, they can actually listen to it. So a live video, whether you're doing a webinar, whether you're interviewing somebody, or whether you're answering questions that are about a specific service. In the previous webinar, we talked a lot about, you know, do an HIV testing days. If we know that actually we're doing an HIV testing day and there's a lot of questions about what it means to actually get tested for HIV, you might want to actually use a live video in which you are promoting the event or you're answering some of those questions. So the idea is you sort of actually answer the questions that people might have, or the reasons people might have by not coming to your health center to get tested for HIV. So you want to, at the same time, you know, use video as a way for you to communicate your message. They can see you, and this is a topic that is that we need to humanize because of all the different things that people go through. What happens if actually when they come to your health center, they find out their HIV test positive? And so do you have the resources in place? Do you have the right people in place for them to provide counseling? These are questions that people might have in their mind. And so you might want to actually write down what are some of the questions that you have. What are some of the questions that the people that you're trying to reach might have and answering in form of a video. You can do case studies. You can do testimonials. If you have patients that have come to your health center and they have improved their life, they have enhanced their skill sets, you know, you might want to actually talk about those testimonials. You might want to interview a patient of yours, a client of yours. And so in a way that you is somebody else actually talking about the service that you provide. Again, once you actually create those different pieces of content, you actually can create also social media posts in which you can actually search an article, a video, a graphic, or you can do live events like training, conferences, like right now we're doing a webinar. So I guess I want to make sure that you are not just thinking about a specific piece of content, but you actually have, it depends on the audience that you're serving, and depending on how your audience is consuming that information, that you have options. Yeah, you can think of different ways that you can reach them, whatever it is that actually makes sense for your audience. Now, keep in mind, though, that I'm talking a lot about audiences here. And again, if I go back to the first webinar where we talked about social media strategy, we also talked about creating an audience profile worksheet. When you create your audience profile worksheet, you'll know exactly what kind of content your audience is looking for. And you'll know how to actually distribute that content, all right? So we define content. We actually are now talking about the different pieces of content. Now, let's actually talk about the mediums, the channels, the communication channels, and the platforms that you might use to promote your content. So we are talking about social media platforms such as Facebook, right? We talked about Instagram. If your audience is there, Instagram is a visual app. So you can do actually live video streaming using Instagram. It's LinkedIn. If your organization actually is trying to expand your brand, your professional brand, do you have a profile in LinkedIn in which other professionals can be looking at you as your organization in terms of, you know, being the leader in your community in providing health services, right, to your audience, to your local community. If that's one of your goals, LinkedIn might be the platform for you to try because your audience there are other professionals in your field. Twitter, does Twitter make sense for you to use? Is your audience actually using Twitter? Do you want to actually use Twitter as a way for you to communicate with them? So these are different platforms that you can use. And who's going to dictate which platform is you're going to be the one actually putting content on? Your audience. Your goals, you know, goals and objectives that you might have that you already actually wrote down in your social media strategy. So that's what this is all about. And so the other medium, the other channel that you might want to use to distribute content is your website. How active is your site? For the most part, you know, when we actually launch a site, we're very excited. We got a list of our services and products and so on. But then we sort of actually leave our site there being static. We don't necessarily actually put a lot of efforts in creating continued content, in creating fresh content for the audience that we're trying to reach. What happens is that as your site becomes static, there's no reason for people to come to your site, right? Unless they're looking for a specific service, specific phone number, but that's pretty much it. But if you want to use your website as a way for you to add interactivity, you want to be thinking of creating content on a regular basis, okay? When you do that, you can actually target very specific audiences. When your people come to your site, you can always actually ask for additional information from your audiences. If you are registering people for a specific event, you can have a registration page in your site. You are using your website as a way for you to collect information from the audience that you're trying to reach. Again, is that part of your strategy? Does that align you with your goals? You know, you will have to answer those questions. You know, we have video services like YouTube and Vimeo. Those are platforms that you can use to upload videos. The nice thing about doing that from the search point of view If you're using YouTube, for example, every time somebody's actually searching for a specific service, if I actually use just, you know, HIV testing service, for example, in Minneapolis, if I have created content, I've had created videos that I can actually upload in YouTube, you know, for the most part, if I use the right terminologies, the right keywords in which I use HIV testing, I use the word Minneapolis, you know, I have a pretty good chance of that video coming up in the search results. Now we're being strategic. Now we're being intentional in terms of how we want to be found. Okay. So those these are different, the different communication channels, different platforms that you can use to distribute your content and emails. You might have an email of donors. If you want to actually do a fundraising campaign, would emails actually make sense? For the most part, yes. Is your audience, the audience that you serve in your local community, are they using emails? That might not be the case, right? But they are using their smartphones. Are they actually texting? Do we have we thought about maybe creating some sort of a texting campaign if our audiences actually are very receptive to texting? So these are some of the things that we can consider when we're talking about the different platforms, the different channels that we can use, all right? How do we now define content marketing? This is one thing that I want to make sure that you understand. According to the Content Marketing Institute, and you can actually go to their site, they have very good information in terms of content and how you can use content in social media. The way that actually they define this and is by actually saying this. It's a strategic marketing approach. Keep in mind this. Focus on creating and distributing valuable, relevant, and consistent content to attract and retain a clearly defined audience. And ultimately, what do we want to do? We want to actually drive them to take action, okay? So in other words, I can actually post content in my social media and I can be providing, you know, promoting a service, right? That I'm actually promoting a service about my community health center. But at the end of the day, what I want is for that audience to actually give us a call, to actually walk in into the health center, whether it's actually getting vaccinated, whether it's actually getting tested for hepatitis or HIV, whatever that might be, there has to be an action that go along with the content that you're promoting, right? Because otherwise, the only thing that we're doing, if there's not an action tagged along with the content, the only thing that we're doing is just pushing information out. But social media is not about just pushing information out. It's about actually having our audiences respond to it, our audience responding to our content, engaging with us, okay? So that's actually how content marketing is defined. So it's content plus distribution. In this case, plus the channel that we use to distribute. All right. So we are creating content in Facebook. Okay. And we are promoting it in Facebook. What are we doing? We are marketing, promoting our content. Okay. So that's how we define content marketing. And so, you know, I want to make sure that we understand this because if we actually come from this concept, all right, and we start thinking about creating content, now we know that that content has to be aligned with a goal. If I have a goal, okay, because I have an HIV test today and I want people, at least 100 people to come and get tested, then I have to actually create content to make sure that those people are interested in coming. And so what are going to be the different pieces of content that I have to create? Well, for one, people might have questions about actually getting tested. What are some of the myths that you want to actually make sure that you present in there in terms of HIV testing? What are some of the concerns that people might have? Again, if they become, you know, they are positive, what kind of resources do you have? Can you actually live a regular life being, you know, being a HIV positive? You know, those are some of the questions that you might want to answer. And these are some of the questions that you might want to create content for. You want to minimize the barriers that your audience will have for them to take action. Okay. So that's the whole idea. All right. When you start thinking that way, then you start positioning yourself in a totally different way. It's not about you anymore, but it's about answering the questions and concerns that your audience may have. All right, so look at these studies right now, and I want to make sure that, you know, I want you to look at this. 94% of respondents, okay, to a Google study said that reputation is an important factor in choosing a hospital or healthcare center. If you actually pay attention to that. What does that mean? It means that basically anything that you do in terms of providing services, people are watching. You know, now we live in a world where I can actually say whether I like or not a specific service that I got from a vendor. If you don't like a movie, you go into social media, you say, this movie was bad. I hated it. If you don't like a service from someone, for the most part, you go and actually leave a bad review. And so if you like the service from a specific vendor or a specific business, you go and leave a good review. So keep that in mind. If you review what you have available right now as part of your health community center. The question is, are you having good testimonials? Are you having good reviews? And can you use those reviews as a way for you to position yourself or to enhance your brand? And so I want to make sure that we pay attention to this, because for the most part, we already have a lot of the content that we need to create. It's the only thing that we need to do is be strategic about it. So when we said about 94% of respondents, actually, to a Google study, they said that reputation is important in order for them to choose whether they go to a certain hospital or health center. Now, that's compared to 51% who rated a recommendation from family or friends as important, okay? So keep that in mind. So people trust, to a certain point, healthcare providers, okay? In a Gallup poll, Americans named nurses, doctors, and pharmacists as the three most trustworthy of all professionals. These professions rank even higher than clergy. So look at that. Look at how, in terms of what the data is telling us. And so when we are looking at the numbers and we know this information, this is actually something that we can use for us to position ourselves even better, all right? So if we know that people already trust the healthcare industry, if we know, according to the polls, that people actually look at reputation, what are we doing with that information? If we know that we have good testimonials, if we have actually made somebody's life better because of the services they're getting from us, are we using that information for us to keep promoting our services? Are we using that information for us to actually, you know, get more people into the door? Are we using that information for even fundraising or even for sustainability? You know, we'll have a webinar where we'll talk about sustainability and how to use technology in social media. So what are some of the things that we're using in order for us to even increase revenue? Okay, our services, there are more services probably in your community health center that actually will drive more revenues versus others. So are we using the information that we already have, the good reputation that we have, as a way for us to promote certain services so it will help us drive revenue? So those revenue will help us pay for the ones that actually don't help us create revenue, the ones that actually we have to subsidize in some way or another. So now you're being strategic. When you start looking at everything that you have in place from the financial aspect and from the technology aspect and the online presence, and you start putting everything together, then you start actually talking about establishing a plan in which your brand is being enhanced. You're actually being visible, but at the same time, there might be a financial goal attached to it, okay? And how do we make it work? What are some of the pieces of information that we have to put together to even attract, for example, funders, to even attract, to promote services that will help us generate more revenue? So when we do it from that perspective, and we understand the importance of creating content, will actually make a huge difference in how the overall brand of our health center is actually being portrayed in our community. And so that's the reason why we have to have a plan in place. When we talk about, for example, you know, I'm going to give an example of this nonprofit, you know, healthcare system. This is Innova. It's serving the Washington, D.C. area, okay? And they want to be transparent, okay? For them, it's a smart marketing tactic in healthcare. So in 2015, Innova began publishing patient ratings and unedited reviews of their physicians on their website, innova.org. This actually move helps the public make informed decisions, okay, when choosing doctors, and it captures some of the web traffic going to sites like HealthRate. HealthRate is sort of the Yelp of healthcare centers. You can go there and you can look at the reviews of different healthcare centers across the country, okay? And so basically what we decided to do is, you know, I want to make sure that, you know, we're going to be transparent about this. And we want to make sure that all the reviews, being good or bad, we're going to put them on our website. And we want other people to see it. If you have that mentality, that mindset, in terms of how to actually be transparent about the services that you provide, right? But at the same time, using those reviews as a piece of content that you can use to enhance your brand, then you will make a huge difference, all right? And so in this case, as we have it, you know, when we are looking at a healthcare center, we look at hospitals, we look at reviews. Now, you're going to have some reviews that are not so good, but how do you respond to it? You know, what are some of the attentions that you actually pay to it? Do you answer the concern of your patients? Do you have a policy in place in how to answer those concerns? But at the same time, are we actually, letting everybody else to see how we're responding without editing the comment from the patient? And the reason why I want to share this with you, because we're talking about reputation, we're talking about being transparent, and we're talking about creating content. This is how a content that is being produced by an audience of yours, someone who is leaving a review, can be used for good and can actually be used as a way for you to respond and as a way for you to humanize issues that people might have. If they actually had a bad day, they had a bad service, they actually, you know, called your health center and they didn't get the answer that they wanted or they needed in a timely manner. How do we respond to that? How do we use that information as a way for us and as an organization to learn from it, but also as a way for us to sort of actually let everybody else know, our audience, that we understand their issue, we understand the problem, and we're here to help them. And so that's part of actually why I wanted to show you this. So this is a different way of us actually doing social media. Remember that we talked about looking at different pieces of content and pushing content out. But for the most part, you already have content available that you can use. So let's actually talk a little bit about what it takes, what are some of the things that you got to think about when you are creating a content strategy. So you got to know who your audience is. And, you know, I repeat this, but this is something that it has to be the most important piece. If you don't know who your audience is, it doesn't matter what else you do. For the most part, you're going to miss the mark. Your audience needs to be the one in the center, and everything that you do online has to be revolved around that person, okay? So basically, you know, you need to start thinking about what answers they're looking for when they come to your healthcare, okay, or when they come to the website. What are the problems that they're having? You know, the content marketing strength lies in building brand recognition and reputation, okay? So think about what are the goals. If you want to identify the goals that you want to achieve, think about what the goals you want to content to achieve. Do you want to have, for example, 100 new clients testing for HIV this month? Do you want to increase traffic to your website by having 1,000 new visitors each month? You know, keep in mind in terms of how I'm putting numbers to it, because I'm being specific. It's not about, okay, I want to have new traffic to my website every month. Well, how much? Or I want to have new clients every month. Well, how many? So you got to put numbers to it, because that's going to help you know whether you're reaching your goals or not. If you're not reaching those numbers, then we'll need to actually make some changes, right? So do you want to actually answer questions or misconception about viral hepatitis, for example? Do you want to increase client participation or client recruitment in a specific program? You know, how many clients do you want? You want to have them to enroll in a specific program that you have. You want to promote services that will increase revenue by 50% this month for your healthcare center. So when you start actually identifying your goals, then your goals are going to drive what kind of content you're going to create and how you're going to frame it. Okay. I hope this is making sense for everyone. Do you want to increase your social media followers by, 500 people this month? So right now, if you actually have 1,000 fans in Facebook, for example, do you want to, by next month, I want to have 1,500. Okay, so what am I going to do to reach that? Okay, what are some of the pieces of information that I actually need to post on social media so I have more people interested in what I'm talking about, and they can become followers, so they can become fans of my social media channels, all right? So now you're being strategic. And so when you know who your audience is, right, what are the problems that they're having and how you're going to answer those problems, why they should come to you and not go somewhere else. When you start thinking about that, then you start actually creating content that will answer those questions. When you identify the goals that you want to achieve, like the one that I just gave you as an example, and you're putting numbers right next to it, again, that will help you create the content that you want to create in order to achieve those goals. Now, you got to define the tone that you want to use when you're posting on social media. Is it going to be fun? Are you going to actually have post jokes or have some sort of actually graphic that will be fun for the day? Is it going to be informative? Are you going to be informing your community about specific issues, things that they need to watch for in order for them to actually live a healthier lifestyle, for example? Is it going to be inspirational? Because a lot of the times, people that we're serving in the local community, they're actually struggling on a daily basis. Maybe some of those people are unemployed. They're actually going through a very tough situation at home. What kind of content can we create to sort of actually lift the spirits up a little bit? Can we create inspirational content? Does that make sense for our branding? Does it make sense for our audience? Can be educational. How we educate our audiences, for example, and have to have health relationships, or how to actually, watch for signs that have to do with addiction or suicide thoughts. I mean, how do we start educating our audience about topics or issues they're dealing with on a daily basis in our local community? Is it going to be a positive tone in which you're, at the end of the day, when they come to your site, it's not only about solving problems, but at the same time, it's about actually giving your audience hope that at the end of the day, they're going to actually be lifted up. Their spirits can be lifted up by the content that you're producing. So you got to decide which tone you want to use. And you can do a combination of those that I just mentioned, okay? But make sure, though, that when you do that, again, you're speaking to your audience so you can actually get your audience engaged in this conversation. If you are creating content, okay, and nobody's responding to it, basically the only thing that you're doing is just pushing content out. And that's what that social media is all about. Basically, your social media channel is another website where they come, they read, and they leave. But we don't want that. The whole purpose of us using social media is for us to actually get engaged our audience. It's for us to communicate with the audience. It's not for us to talk at them, but actually talk with them. And so if you're not getting responses, that means that where you're trying to reach to the wrong audience, or the content is not relevant, or the times that you're posting are not the right times for them, because they might actually not be in the morning, but they might actually be checking their social media channels at night. There are many factors. The nice thing about it, because the question might be, okay, how do we know? How do we find out? The nice thing about it, though, is the social media, remember, they give you all those analytics, all the data points in which you can go back and review and actually make informed decisions, all right? So I don't want you to feel overwhelmed by what I'm telling you right now, because the answer is right there. You just actually have to learn how to look for it. And that's what actually that's why we're producing these webinars, as a way for us to show you how to actually can get answers to those questions. But at the same time, you know, if you actually need additional PA, we can certainly actually offer personalized PA, and we can actually dive a little bit deeper in some of the questions that you have as an organization. Keep in mind, though, as you're creating your content strategy, that you also need to measure, right? Is it working? I'm looking at the right data. Measuring the results of your content that you're producing is important as creating the content itself. So this can be as simple as asking your patients, for example, who they found or heard about your community health center. Okay, how did they actually learn about you? I don't know if you do that as part of your intake. You know, how do actually they learn about some of the services that you provide? Did they actually search in Google? I mean, a lot of this information you can actually gather if your website is measuring views or visits using Google Analytics. A lot of that information can be found there. So doing this would allow you to review and adjust your strategy. You have to know where your audience is coming from, and you have to measure your results. At the beginning of this process, for example, you can start reviewing the results once a week, okay? And then after the first 30 days, you can start reviewing them every other week, okay? But at the beginning of the process, you want to look at your data on a regular basis, because that would allow you to adjust. You got to be able to adjust. And that's the nice thing about using social media. It allows you to sort of actually make changes right there. You can pause the campaign, look at the numbers, and make the necessary changes that you need to do in order for them to enhance it, to improve it, to reach the people that you want to reach, all right? So I hope this is making sense for you. If you have any questions, feel free to actually type into the questions pane, and you know we'll be looking at your questions and reading those. So feel free to actually answer any questions as I go along. So how do we talk about creating an effective content calendar? Now, we talked about creating a content strategy, all right? Now, what does it take now to map it out? What's going to be your publishing schedule? What is it going to look like? And so this is the piece in which I think, you know, for the most part, we think that actually creating content has to be complicated, right? Because then you're thinking about, okay, so how often should I publish and what are the times and who's going to be doing that? Because I don't have time. I'm working with clients. My staff is overworked. And so we don't have time. And so the answer to the question is you would be surprised how easy it can be for you to sort of actually program the content that can go by itself into your social media channels. The only thing that you need to do is actually get together with your team and brainstorm what are some of the different pieces of content that you need to start creating. Once you create it, though, you can actually use a content calendaring system in which you can actually place that content, and you can tell that system, I want that information to go up tomorrow at 9 a.m., and I want the second piece of content to go up at 2 p.m., and the other one could be at 8 p.m., And you can do that, you know, you can actually do it weekly or do it monthly. You know, I've worked with grantees in which they actually have a whole month of content in which they don't have to worry about creating it because they already created it. The only thing that they do is monitor it. So basically, once you put together a content strategy with your content marketing goals and distribution methods, it's time to map out what your publishing schedule will look like. All right. So do you know what you're going to post, share, or blog about, for example, tomorrow? This Friday, what about next week or the week after? So you need to have a strategy for each day and plan in order to be consistent and get exposure, okay? So you can brainstorm topics by focusing on some of these questions. For example, what is the problem that is out there in the healthcare industry, for example, in your local community. You know, how are you offering a solution to this problem? Is the people actually struggling right now to get to be seen? Is there a long waiting list for people to actually get the services? Are we finding out that, you know, if people don't have health insurance, for example, what are some of the other ways that people can get seen to your local community healthcare center? Do you provide services, obviously, to low-income families? You know, the low-income families, they might have other barriers by coming. What about transportation? So we start thinking now strategically in terms of some of the topics, how we actually offering solutions to the problems our community are having. For the most part, communities might have health-related problems, but they also have other problems that will stop them from accessing your services, for example. So what kind of solutions do we have for those other problems that actually there might be dealing with on a daily basis? Do we have success stories? I just mentioned that earlier. So do we have success stories from, you know, past patients or clients that you can use to promote a specific service and increase credibility, all right? Again, if you know that you're having, for example, you've had some clients or patients that did not have a good experience with you, how are you responding to that? You know, I work with grantees in which actually they're health care center, actually, they were having really bad reviews, but they were trying to promote a specific program. It was hard at the beginning to sort of actually get across that. But on the other hand, they already have had successful stories of clients or patients of them who have been able to improve their lives based on the services that they were getting from a specific program. So they started using those success stories as a way for them to say, look, you know, we understand that you probably had a bad experiences before in a healthcare center, but you know, we want you to know that people that have been able to come to us and be able to access these type of services, they've been able to improve their lives. They're now actually they were in this stage before, and now they're actually able to move to a better, you know, healthier lifestyle. You know, they're working. So you start now actually listing all the positive things that people were able to accomplish because of the programs or the services they received. So these are possible topics that you might want to be brainstorming about or thinking about. You know, who are you trying to reach? Who is your ideal client or patient that you want to actually get, you want to reach, you want to communicate with, you want to engage with, all right? This is why it's very important to have a firm grasp of your strategy when it comes to posting content on particular days, weeks, or months. You can plan your content, you know, releases around key dates and launches too. For example, you can create content for National Youth HIV and AIDS Awareness Day. You can create content for Hepatitis Awareness Month, which is in May, in the month of May of each year, or Hepatitis Testing Day, which is May 19th of each year. So if you actually have themes that you can pick and choose as a way for you to educate your audience about a specific subject, it's another way for you to create content. And again, we'll sit down for a couple of hours, 2 or 3 hours, or even you take, you know, half a morning, half afternoon, but you can actually plan content for the next 4 weeks. That will leave you room only to monitor, to make sure to see how people are responding. You can meet once a week, you know, every Friday, for example, for the first 30 days, and start looking at the data. And start looking at, okay, is this content making sense? Are people responding to it? Okay, are people actually engaging with us? We only had 2 likes, but what about if we want to revisit this content and we want to actually have at least 50 likes and actually have 10 shares? Now you're being more strategic. You notice now you're sort of using your numbers to actually see and choose and select which content created the most impact. Because now you don't go back and writing something that actually didn't create an impact before. You are using the content based on the data that you're getting, the content that created the most impact, and you're rewriting it, retweaking it. You can actually create a video, right? You're using that content that you actually was in the text form, now you create a video. And believe me, you will have a different level of engagement as well. When you do that, you're not actually adding more work that will not produce results, but you're being smart and strategic about it because now you know what actually works. So that's why we do this, is to avoid wasting time and resources, to avoid frustration. And then you, at the end of the day, you might say, you know what, this doesn't work. We did it and it didn't work. And so we have to think of other ways. But by doing it this way, you actually are making sure that you will be successful. That's what we're doing because we're planning for success. I'm not telling you, though, that every single piece of content is going to be good. What I'm saying is that when you plan ahead and you have a system in place and when the content is actually being posted by automatically, you know, you're not actually wasting resources doing that yourself. You have a tool that is helping you achieve that, okay? And so now you can actually use your time to monitor, or your team can be using their time to monitor that content and see how people are responding to it. One of the tools that I always recommend is Hootsuite. You can go to hootsuite.com, and it's basically a platform that you can use. They have a free version and they have a paid version. And the paid version is about, you know, it goes to $5 to $10 a month. But this is a tool that you can use for you to actually post content on various social media channels. You can use it to post on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. And so you can actually, if you are in having a presence on different channels, this could be a great tool for you to use. Okay, so you actually plan your post. You can actually monitor how people are responding from one platform. So you don't have to go to Facebook, for example, to look at the data, but this actually will give you data and you will be able to see it in one place. So you can inform decisions. The nice thing about it, you can have different accounts. So you have a team of people doing this. They all can have access to this. And so for the most part, I always recommend Rentees. You can start with a free version. You know, the free version allows you to post multiple times to multiple channels. And so you can manage up to 3 social media profiles. So it's Facebook, one of them, Twitter is another one, and LinkedIn, boom, you don't need a paid version. Now, the paid version will allow you to look more, at a more detailed numbers. It will give you a more detailed data report, okay? But it's not expensive. So this is one of the tools that you can use. Facebook also itself allows you to post automatically. And it's free. So Facebook, you know, when you have a Facebook page, you can go there and you can actually post, you know, your own post. You can actually use their calendar system and you tell Facebook when to post and at what time. And Facebook will do it automatically for you. But the key is for you to create that content, all right? The key is for you to actually, have done the brainstorming ahead and already created that content. Remember, let's go back to the pieces of content that you can create. We talk about video. We talk about reports, articles. We talk about live videos, live events. There are many things that you can do. At the beginning, it's a little bit of work. But once you have the system in place, it gets easier, okay? So that's the piece that I think is important for you guys to understand, that I don't want you to feel overwhelmed, because it gets easier as you actually put all the systems in place. So let's talk a little bit now about the content marketing key components. So we're going to be talking about these key components, and I'm going to give you examples and how some healthcare centers, in this case, the first example that you see here is a Mayo Clinic. I think they do a wonderful job. And you might say, well, the Mayo Clinic is huge. But what they're doing is something that you can do. All right. It doesn't depend on the size of the organization. It depends on the strategy behind it and the goal that they have. So the content marketing key components, number one, remember how we define content: by providing valuable, relevant and consistent information. So they began podcasting in 2005. Okay. They created a YouTube channel. Okay. So they use videos a lot to answer questions. Mayo Clinic has a website with in-depth information and conditions. They know who their audience is. So they use their website as a way for the audience to go and look for information about health-related issues, of course. And, you know, they have multiple blogs, including one that enable patients and employees to tell their stories. This is powerful. I don't know if you noticed, but as I'm talking about this, I always go back to telling the stories of your patients or telling the stories of your employees. So when your content is backed by credible resources from your medical community, it provides value to consumers and wins their loyalty. Right. And so once you establish your organization as the go-to resource for health information in your area, people will not only turn to you for their own health care, but they will promote you to others. That it's a goal in itself. If you want your own audience to promote you to others, you have to establish a good reputation, which I'm sure you already have. But also you have to back that up with good content, with good information. So in this case, for example, Mayo Clinic, they have built an extensive content marketing effort. Basically leveraging of their sterling reputation, enhancing it and gaining a local audience over time. If you already have a good reputation as a health center, use that. Use that as a way to promote your other services. Use that as a way to tell the stories of your patients. Just to give an example in terms of how this strategy has worked for Mayo Clinic, you know, a study found that 95% of Mayo Clinic patients actively promote the brand to others, and the clinic make it so easy to do so through social media. Now, what does that mean? So what it means basically, if I'm creating content, am I asking people to share this story? And am I asking people to, if they saw something that is relevant to them, you know, am I asking people to go ahead and share with their friends and family? If I go to your website, do I have links at the bottom of an article that I read that is important to me that I can easily share it? You want to make it as easy as possible for people to consume your information, but also for them to comment and share it with others. Okay? You want to minimize any barriers they might have. Is the content that you're creating, is it mobile responsive? Otherwise, if I look at the information using my smartphone, it's going to look nice. Am I going to be able to see that it's the same quality if you're actually using videos? Is the same quality that I see in your site? If it is a high quality video, it's going to keep the same quality if I actually use my smartphone. So these are things that you have to think about and making sure that it's working to your advantage and not to your disadvantage. Because what happens is this. You only have a few seconds to get people's attention. And because you only have a few seconds to do that, you have to actually put an effort and plan what that information is going to be so they can actually stay there. So if I go to your site, one of the things that I would do, I would also start looking at some of the pages of your site and see how much time people have spent visiting your site, how much time people have spent looking at your social media channels. If I see that the time is only a few seconds or a few minutes, for example, and that tells me that the content they're reading, the information that they're actually consuming is not relevant, okay? Because they go there and they go somewhere else. And so now, when I'm giving you these examples, I hope that you actually are taking notes and thinking about ways that you can use this information for your own community health center and how you can actually position your health center to use content marketing as a strategy for you to actually get more clients, but also a strategy for you to generate or to increase revenue, okay? And so that's the piece that I think is important for us to start thinking about. For the most part, we think about sustainability, and this is a subject that we'll talk at a later webinar, but we think of sustainability when our grant is over. When what we don't realize, and we have all the tools right now, technology and social media give us a lot of the tools right now that we actually have, we can use to our advantage to start actually talking about sustainability, whether it's about sustaining an effort, a service, or thinking about using technology for us to generate more revenue. Let's actually give you another example here really quick. So the other content marketing key component is attracting a specific audience. Remember about Innova? So that's the organization that we talked about where they decided to actually list their patient review on their site. Innova is located in one of the most mobile connected communities in the country. What they did basically, because their audience were on their smartphone all the time, they developed 7 mobile apps for iPhone and Android users. Whether it's for patients who want to look up lab results, when it is for parents, who want to actually check some of the dosage charts, if you have a sport coaches in the case, they want to evaluate players for concussion, they knew who the audience is. I'm not actually asking you to say, oh my God, you got to develop mobile apps. I'm giving the example that in this case, they knew who the audience is and they actually developed a product to actually solve the problem. So you must meet your audience where they are with the content that they want. People expect an organization to get them. Okay, they expect you for you to understand them, okay? So that means that you got to deliver messages that is tailored to them. Finding the right channels to use begins with learning where your audience is. As simple as that. If your audience is on Facebook, awesome. But if your audience locally, we know that the audience that locally that we're using is an audience that actually using this, that we know that the content that we need to create for anyone who's using a smartphone is content that has to be mobile friendly. Because if there is not mobile friendly, they're going to go tap on your phone, on their phone, and then they're going to leave the site. They're going to leave your social media channel. So we want to make sure that we actually are paying attention to that. It's not surprising that most people are on the internet. 80% of U.S. adults use it. So according to the Pew Research Center, another 58% own a smartphone. While young adults are most likely to have them, 32% of those ages, 50 to 64, have one too. So again, I go back to, is your information easily consumed by mobile devices? Are you paying attention to that? Do you know if your audience is using mobile devices? And probably the answer to that question is yes. You might say, yes, I know that they use the smartphones all the time. Maybe even though you might be actually working or assisting low-income families, but they have a smartphone. Maybe they have a smartphone, but the only thing that they use is text. Are you able to communicate with them via text? One of the things that I know, I work with a school district where they serve low-income families. One of the methods that they use to reach is actually texting. They actually text to the parents in terms of what's going on and some of the things that they want to announce about their kids, things that happen in school. Texting is a very important piece of communication. because they know that probably 95% of the population, they have cell phones. They might not have a smartphone, but they have a cell phone and they have texting services. So that is for me to say there are ways for you to sort of actually distribute your content based on who your audience is and use that as a way for you to know where you want to be and how you actually want to present your content. Let's look at the other strategy here, which is actually driving profitable customer action. So basically, I'm going to show you in a really quick, too, because I want to show you the website in a little bit. But basically, you know, this was a contest. It was organized by Anne Arundel's Medical Center, okay? And they asked the participants to post their best statue, okay? Otherwise known as a selfie with either a real or fake mustache. The purpose, though, was to raise awareness for men's health during November, or Movember, as they call it. And basically what it is, they ask their audiences, you know, we want to make sure that, you know, go ahead and take a picture of yourself. You don't have to have a mustache, but basically a selfie with a fake mustache if you don't have one, because we want to, you know, we're talking about health, men's health, and we want to raise awareness about a specific topic, okay? And November was the month that it was used for this particular campaign. So basically what happened, they actually took advantage of how fun this social media activity was, but it also drove traffic to their website, okay? And so, and that's part of actually, you know, that's what was on the key. They want to actually have the community be involved in the promotion and marketing of it. And so I wanted to mention that to this because this is another way for us to create content. And we ask the community that we serve to actually create content for us, but in a very fun and engaging way, okay? So can you think of ways that you can use this example as a way for you to raise awareness about a specific issue? Can you use videos, for example, in a way that you can actually raise, can you ask your audience if you're actually doing an HIV testing day there? You will be surprised how many people actually will film themselves and say, hey, I'm actually getting tested because of 1, 2, and 3. That's your audience giving you content. That's your audience actually being the one promoting the services that you are offering. And that's your audience actually making sure that they reach in their friends as well. And so it's not you anymore, but it's your audience who's driving the message. And so let me actually see if I can actually now show you really quick here the website. And so this is the site really quick in which they use for them to promote their campaign. So they actually ask people to come to the site and look at the, you know, look at the, they had a contest. They actually saw this enter to win. And so, you know, post a statue, start a conversation about men's health. So here are the instructions and how they could actually enter to win. So take a statue, post your statue, and again, they will give they gave the Facebook Medical Center page here. Check in weekly. Every post is a chance to win a $50 Visa gift card. Now, if you have the flexibility to create something like this, okay, what this actually does is basically maximize your reach, enhances your brand, but at the same time, actually allows you to raise awareness about a specific topic. Because if you look at this site, I'm coming to this link right now, and look at the different questions. You know, how much do you know about men's health? Then there's a blog here where it says, a father tells his story of keeping the smoking habit. There's a podcast. There's a radio. So the idea is for them to come to the site, enter into your content, but at the same time for them to look around the information that you have about the issue. Now, we can measure this campaign in so many ways. One is how many people actually enter the contest. Two, but how many people stay there and visited all the different links and how long they actually stay? Because that would allow us to know whether the campaign is being successful. That we are not only have people entering the contest, but they actually are reading the content that we're producing, okay? So can you think of ways that you can do something like this with the audience that you're serving, all right? And so that's the reason why I wanted to share with you. I want you to start thinking about ways that you can use this information for your own benefit, for the benefit of your audience, the patient that you're serving, and for you to enhance visibility, for you to be able to maximize your brand reach, your health center reach as well, okay? All right, so let's actually look at other example here really quick. Let's go to our presentation. All right, so this one is another example. This one is from the Carilion Clinic. And basically, you know, this one is, it was called the Yes Ma'am campaign. Look at the hashtag. And I think we talked a little bit about this when we did the webinar on creating your social media strategy, the powers of hashtags. Okay, so hashtags pretty much are keywords, terminologies that you can use to find information. So you notice that sometimes when you post things on Facebook or Twitter or any social media platform, there are people actually posting hashtag, which is actually the pound sign here with a phrase. And what that does is if I actually go and search the internet with this hashtag, for example, I will find any information that actually, you know, had this hashtag tagged along the message that actually I'm searching for. So basically, if I go and search for Yes Ma'am, I'm going to look up all the articles, posts, and videos that were created and they actually have the hashtag on. That's the importance of doing this because that means that your content is easy discoverable. So people can find it and people can share it. Okay, so look at this. Over 4 years ago, in order to raise awareness about breast cancer and the need for early detection, this clinic started the Yes Ma'am campaign. Whether you're using a hashtag to answer common breast cancer questions in a Twitter chat or driving traffic to the website to encourage women to make an appointment at one of the screen locations, the Yes Ma'am hashtag is a perfect example of the power of hashtag to start a movement. Okay? So look at this. So there are many things that you can do with it. You can actually encourage women to make an appointment. You can actually start the conversation about breast cancer. You can, you know, I'll show you the site in a little bit. But the idea is for you to raise awareness about an issue. And who's actually driving this is the audience that you're serving behind it, okay? So let me actually show you really quick now the page for this particular campaign. And basically, what you're going to see here now is information that has to do with taking a mammogram, you know, having a breast cancer test. And look at this. So the information here is, how do we answer questions about breast cancer, okay? Why, you know, how do I schedule my mammogram? You know, how can I schedule it? Look at the different topics that you have in here, all the different links. We're talking about screening mammograms, diagnostic, breast cancer support group. So they're actually taking people from this hashtag and actually, you know, sending them to this page. All right. And from here, they're actually raising awareness. They're educating their audience about the importance of mammograms, for example, and about the issue of breast cancer. And so that's, can you think of a campaign that you can create for your community health center in which you actually create a hashtag? And it doesn't have to be huge. It can be a local campaign in which you can actually help raise awareness about a specific issue based on what you think will be important for you and your audience. And so I wanted to show you these examples as well because I wanted to show you that you don't have to create something massive and you don't have to think that it has to be overdone or you have to invest, you know, thousands of dollars to do this. What you have to do is the right content. That's why you have to create the right content and know who your audience is. Okay? That's basically it. And once you do that, you start making sure that you distribute your content in the social media channels that your audience is present at, that your audience is using. So again, the strategy behind it. That's what is going to help you achieve your goals. All right, so let's go now with poll question number two. So based on the examples that I just gave you, what kind of content or topics do you think your audience would benefit from? And can you please enter the comments into the questions pane? And so what kind of content or topics do you think your audience would benefit from? I want to make sure that, you know, we sort of actually start thinking about some possible topics and start brainstorming about some of the things that we can do here when creating content. Any contents or topics that you might want to think about, things that you think will be beneficial to know for your audience. So you can enter comments in the questions pane, and I'm going to be watching for those. Now, think about this, though. In terms of when we actually brainstorming for questions, we got to be strategic, okay? So think about some of the goals that you may have, some of the objectives that you may have as part of your content strategy. And so I want to make sure that you start thinking that way because that will make a difference, okay? That will make a difference in how we want to position ourselves, you know, and what are the goals that we want to achieve. Again, if we go back to some of the brainstorming topics that I share with you, if you want to actually, for example, have 1,000 new visits to a website, you know, what's the content that I need to produce in order for me to that happen? If you want to increase your Facebook following, you know, what are some of the things that I need to do to make that happen? So if I want to go from 500 to 1,000 fans, so if I want to go from, you know, I have already 2,000 fans, but I want to actually go to 3,000 fans in about 6 months period. By doing that, that means that I'm increasing my visibility. I'm maximizing my exposure. I'm being able to solidify my presence online. I'm able to actually produce content that might help to generate revenue for my health center. So what are some of the content creation that you need to have in order for you to meet that objective? So basically, this is how we start thinking about all the different topics, okay? Now, here's one thing that I want you to start thinking about too. I want you to start thinking about how you can use video. I want you to start thinking about how you can drive that engagement by you actually using video. So I'm not saying to stop and not use graphics and text, but video is a powerful tool. It's a powerful tool for you to use. And so you can actually have use video as a way for you to answer frequently asked questions in order for you to make sure that you have a conversation with your clients. If you have a Facebook fan page that in which you actually have, 500 fans or 1,000 fans, and these are, some of your fans might be clients of yours, well, what stops you from actually conducting a Facebook Live event in which you can actually, on a weekly basis, you choose to talk about a specific subject. So what are some of the subjects that you think your audience will be interested in learning more about? If you actually serve an audience in which you're actually doing a lot of HIV prevention and intervention strategies, do we need to talk about, healthier sexual relationships, for example? Or, if there's an audience where, they are actually dealing with, there's a high unemployment rate, or it's an audience in which, they don't actually tend to go to the doctor. What are some of the myths that you might want to answer to a Facebook Live event? And so when you start doing that, Facebook records the video for you, and you can actually use it in multiple ways. So once the video is being recorded, you can actually create an ad on Facebook, and you can expand your reach. You can post it in your channel. You can put it on your website. There are many things that you can do. So now you have one piece of content, and you can repurpose it, okay? You can have that content in different places. And so that's the advantage. That's the advantage of doing something in which you are not, you do it once, but you can use that information and be smart about it in a way that you can present it in so many different ways. So you're not coming back to the table, okay, what do I do now? No, because there are going to be people that will actually digest your content in a video way, and there are going to be people that will digest your content if you create a post about it, because they will read about it. Or you can actually create different infographics in which you actually draw pieces of that video and put important statistical information, for example, if you want to do it, educate and raise awareness. So now what you're doing is basically grabbing that content and actually creating different, whether it's graphic, video, text, and posting it in different platforms. So let me actually go back really quick here to show you something really quick in terms of how you can put this everything together. Okay, so if we're talking about content marketing strategies, so how do we put everything together in terms of all, based on all the things that I've talked about during this webinar? How to effectively promote your content to new and existing audiences. These are dozens of strategies. There are dozens of strategies for getting your content in front of other people. There are many ways that you can do that. But you want to make sure that you're making the most of your time and that you're doing this as effectively as possible. And I just gave you examples along this webinar on how you can actually do this. But number one, we talked about social media. So social media is one of the best platforms that you can use because it allows you to reach a lot of people, people that are already there using social media to communicate with each other, okay? Whether it's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Snapchat, YouTube, these are great tools that can be used to successfully promote your newest content. Remember that probably not all your fans or followers will see your content the first time. So keep that in mind. Posting the same content multiple times is not counterproductive. Even though you might think so, it's not counterproductive because you are competing for attention. So you might be putting a very important piece of content 8 a.m., 8 o'clock in the morning, and maybe only a few of your fans actually saw that. Well, you might want to choose to post that content again. You don't want to be repetitive and have your audience lose interest in your post, but what you can do, though, is sporadically actually put the same content just to see how people are responding and what are the best times to post. I don't want you to start thinking about, well, I just posted a piece of information, nobody responded. Well, let's try it again. Let's actually try it a different time, because that might mean is actually your audiences did not see it. It's not that you're reaching the wrong audience. It's that the audience that you're trying to reach, they might not be seeing it because at that time, they might not be there, okay? And again, you are competing for people's attention. Remember that your audience are also following other pages. They're following other things in social media. So you got to be able to grab their attention. And that's what social media allows you to do. You can test things, and based on those data, you can actually adjust your website, okay? If you're posting content that merits to have additional information, make sure you expand it into your website, okay, with a strong call to action. Remember those websites that I just showed you about for those campaigns. They had call to actions. And so whether you're asking your audience to enter a contest or whether you're actually asking your audience to actually educate themselves about a specific issue by clicking on a specific link. So there's got to be a call to action. So the call to action is based on your goals that you have as part of your content marketing strategy, right? Now, the easy social sharing, I know that I mentioned this before, but the easy social sharing, this is your content has to be very easy to share. If it is good content, it's relevant to your audience, most likely your audience, your people will share it. If it isn't, so chances are they will spend too much time trying to figure out how to pass it along, okay? So make it very simple, okay? Make it very simple for your readers to repost your content. It's vital to the promotion of your blogs, to the promotion of your website. So make it simple for them by adding social media buttons and strategic location and asking them to share. The couple of examples that I show you, well, those two different campaigns, actually, if you go there, you will see how it is for you to share. A lot of those people actually have those links, their social media links, and where you can actually share that information, all right? But you actually also at the same time ask them to do so. So there's two things, making sure that the posted information is very easy to share, but at the same time, having a call to action where you're asking people to do it, all right? Paid advertisements. And this is something that I think is very important. We're going to have a webinar, and the next webinar is going to be about social media advertising. And this is something that I don't see a lot of grantees doing it. And for the most part, it's because they don't understand how it works. But once you do, and you realize how much things you can do and the good results that you can have, when you have a good social media ad advertising strategy, you start looking at the way that you can actually create ads online in a different way, because you can start investing a little bit of money, but you will make a huge impact. You have to have a plan behind it, but it will allow you to actually even narrow down your niche, narrow down your audience, because you tell Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, for example, who's the audience that you want to reach, the audience that you want to see the content that you are producing, okay? So having a good marketing strategy doesn't need to be expensive. Having a budget, though, that will help you reach your audience must be part of your strategy. Due to the online targeting capabilities that exist today, that would allow you to reach an audience who is more likely interested in getting the services that you provide. Some of the ad platforms that you can use, for example, for online paid advertising are Facebook ads. You can do Instagram, okay? So you can actually use Instagram ads as well. You can do promoted tweets. So if you actually are in Twitter and your audience is there, you can use something that's called promoted tweets. So you pay Twitter, $5, $10, $20 in order for you to actually reach more people, okay? And LinkedIn offer also an ad platform as well. Now, again, you don't need to learn all those things on your own. We can certainly help you and provide TA in how to actually select the best platform that makes sense for you as an organization and for the audience that you're serving, okay? And finally, what we talk about repurposing, okay? So I mentioned this a little bit, but when we start talking about marketing strategies, repurposing is one that I think it's a little bit underused, because we tend to think we have to be creating new content all the time. And the thing is that we can create 5 pieces of content, and we can see which one is the one that is actually resonating with the audiences, and the one that is actually working the best is the one that we want to repurpose, that we want to actually transform in other pieces and post in a different social media platform. So you can reuse and recycle, okay, or repurpose your original piece of content by fragmenting it, okay, into smaller pieces to share. So, for example, one of your blog posts can be repurposed into small pieces of social media posts, for example. You can have section of your post that can be used for individual tweets. You can have pieces of your post that can be used to create infographics and use it as a visual way to inform your audience about important health issues. So by repurposing or reusing your content, you're able to spread your reach, okay, as wide as possible across multiple social media platforms and online channels. So that's the advantage of repurposing your content, okay? So you use one piece of content and you sort of actually, grab pieces of it and create, whether it's an infographic, right? When you actually create a graphic and put some stats, some numbers to it, you create, you can grab a fragment of a blog post, for example, and use it to post on social media. Or you can actually grab one or two sentences of your content, of your post, and use and create a video about it. It can be a 3 or 4 minute video. It doesn't have to be long. But you can use the same information and say it in different ways. That's where repurposes is. And then you actually know which one is, will be, you know, will work better for your audience. Remember, your audience might tend to consume information in different ways. So don't just think about, you know, text and graphics and that's it. And if you're not getting the engagement, you say, well, my audience is not interested. Not necessarily. The data will tell you that maybe what you need to do is actually, you know, create a video, because video is more relevant. Facebook tends to give more relevance to videos than just text and graphics, okay, just because video generates a higher level of engagement. That's basically what the whole content marketing strategy is. That's what the difference is between content and content marketing. I hope this webinar was beneficial and sort of actually give you a clear idea in how to actually put a strategy together to start creating information that is easily consumed for your audience, but at the same time drives a higher level of engagement and produces results for you as a community health center. So let's see if we have any questions based on what I have discussed so far. Let me know. And I'm here to answer your questions or comments, doubts, concerns that you may have. If not,
a few moments here. Do you have any questions?
Sure.
Please enter them into the questions pane. We did have one that came in. Speaking about STDs can be embarrassing for some. How can we go into a potentially delicate subject and have people participate without alienating audience members? Any tips?
Sure. There are many ways that you can do this. In fact, basically, one other thing is one way that I would do this, if there are topics that is embarrassing for your audience, but you know these are topics of interest, well, do you know exactly what questions about STDs are the one that they would like to have discussed? And maybe you, as part of the staff, are the one discussing it. Maybe you're the one creating a video. Or here's another idea. Let's suppose that you actually have your audience write those questions. You can actually take pictures of those questions with probably just the hand of the audience writing them down and have them just take picture of their hand with a piece of paper. Now, they're not showing their faces, but they're actually posting the questions. And actually, they're asking for engagement. So there are many ways in which you can use your audience to discuss a specific topic without necessarily revealing themselves. If for some reason someone doesn't want to participate at all, but they do have questions and they have actually have talked to you about some of the things that they would like to know more about, you could be the one actually answering those questions for them. The key is actually how you're going to do it so you can drive the engagement. If I were you, I wouldn't just actually write a post and just leave it at that. I would be the one, as part of the staff, in creating a video and maybe interviewing another staff and where we're discussing questions that we have from our clients. So in other words, I can have a piece of paper and I can say, look, I have actually, you know, 10 questions right now that our clients are asking. One of the first questions that they're asking about STD is this, and you can actually talk about it. So there are many ways and you can still get your audience input, your audience involvement, without necessarily showing their faces or showing your audience, showing your audience in front of a TV or of a picture, for example. So, you know, we got to be a little bit creative in how we do that, but we want to make sure that we get input. And so if it is the audience who's actually giving you those questions, you got to answer them. You got to answer them because, you know, there are other hundreds or thousands of people having the same questions as they are. Okay. So I hope I have answered your question and given you a couple of ideas on how to go about doing that.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Yes. In targeting youth, we must first find out what would spark youth interest to the health center via making a video. And that's all that's there. I'm not sure if there's more to that, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
I guess they want to make a video and they want to target youth and they're wondering mm-hmm. how to, you know, find out what they could do to spark interest, youth interest.
Sure. Well, I mean, part of it, you know, part of the answer to that is, can you use youth as being part of the video themselves? Can you actually have, you know, the youth being the one sort of actually asking some of the questions or generating the content for you? If youth might not be, they don't want to reveal themselves, you know, but you have a pretty good, you know, a good idea in terms of what are some of the things that they actually are looking for in terms of answers, you know, you might want to actually use a way for you to gather youth engagement. You can create a content like the one that I just exposed to you, the one that I just went over, in order for youth to actually be more involved. Video is one great way to reach people, but remember, youth also use a lot of hashtags, okay? And youth can help you to drive traffic to a specific page on your site if it is about a subject that actually they care about. So if you know what that subject is, If you're very sure that this is something they're interested in, the only thing that you have to do is produce the content. And so if you can use video, you can ask your youth in order for you to sort of actually continue that conversation, that they can actually, you know, use the hashtag, whatever the hashtag might be, as a way for them to keep actually asking questions or engaging other people as well. But even within your staff, you have a staff that that actually have some sort of an influence over youth, and you might want to use them as a way for you to interview them, as a way for you to keep the content fresh and interactive, do that as well. And so I'm always the one suggesting, if you can actually use your audience as the, one of the most important pieces to help you drive your message, that will be better, because you will have better results, because it's your audience the one doing it for you, okay?
All right, thanks. Sure. If anyone else has any questions, please enter them now. Not seeing any right now.
Okay.
So I guess if you have any final thoughts, we can wrap it up here.
Sure. Well, you know, it's feel free. You can always send your questions later. If you actually need a personal STA, and then we can actually help you further, feel free to actually request that as well. And so we have, I believe, our next Social Media for Sustainability Community of a Practice, number 3. We're going to be talking about social advertising fundamentals for Thursday, May 18th from 1 to 2:30. So here in this webinar, we're going to be talking about how to create ads and how to actually use ads effectively. We're going to be talking about budgets. How much money should we actually have in place in order for you to have some very good results? And so, but again, the idea for this webinar is for us to share some of the things that we have seen have worked when we actually talking about social media, and for you to hopefully implement some of these things, and you're not alone. So if you have questions and you don't know how to do it, request technical assistance. We'll be more than happy to help you. So thank you.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's webinar, and we hope that you're able to find the information provided useful. Take care, everybody, and we'll see you next time.